Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Horrible, despicable, miserable.
This was a moment in time that I will never forget.
Terrible moment. This is like literally the worst episode of Dawson's Creek we've seen ever. So far.
Now, okay, is this karma? Because we have spent a lot of time really bashing Joey and not so much Katie Holmes. I won't say like our problem is not with Katie Holmes, correct?
Not usually.
Not usually. Yeah. It's just Joey Potter in general. So then you have to attribute that to the writing. But is it karma that we get a all Joey Potter episode for all the times you bitched about her?
Yeah, this is what we get. We've been complaining nonstop about Joey's storyline, especially this season. I feel like we've like particularly been like, ugh, great, or whatever. And now we get a full, and like, I can't, okay. The fact that this started out as like a to be continued from the last episode makes zero sense, because
it doesn't.
We talked about this offline a little bit. Like, if they had done, like, if she had gotten held up by the mugger at the end of the last episode and then had that be the to be continued, makes a lot of sense. But to have Joey, like, throwing a snowball at a sign and then happily walking off, to be continued, it makes zero sense.
Do the producers of Dawson's Creek know what a to be continued is?
I really think they're just like, people are falling off in season five. They're not liking it. We need to pull them back in. How do we pull them back in? A TBC.
A TBC. Okay, so let's see. Let's go to the credits, because we've never done this. We've never talked about who's responsible for Dawson's Creek.
Okay.
Executive producers. And I want, if anybody, if any of these people that I mention actually listen to the show, I don't know how that's possible, but just, you have to answer to me. Please email me. Executive producers, Paul Stupin. Paul, what are you doing?
Paul.
Tom.
Paul. Tom. Come on.
Tom. Greg Prang.
Greggy.
I expected more from you.
You really did.
These all sound like white man names also.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Associate producer, Cynthia Stegner.
Cynthia, we thought so highly of you up until now, Cynthia.
Director of photography, Frank Pearl.
Frank, my man, Frank the Tank.
You deserve no pearls. Edited by Daniel Valverde. Did they not give you anything good enough for you to edit better with?
You left all the bad parts in.
Who's the writer here? They don't tell me.
They don't want us to know.
They don't want us to know.
No one wants to take credit for this.
Nobody's taking credit, because we don't even have a normal top scene. Okay, so I think we've seen this one other time when Mitch passed away, where they did like a dramatic. They didn't want to do like, I don't want to wait.
Yeah, they don't want to bop to the I don't want to wait.
So they had like sad music. Mysterious. Yeah, they had sad music, but they still had the normal credits. Now, this opening segment, was dark, smoky background.
Yeah.
Dark and smoky with a scary music.
Yeah.
Just all around disturbing. I'm still trying to find the writer so that I can roast the writer or the director.
Yeah.
But not even the writer and the director want to.
They don't want to be found. They're in hiding.
They don't
want
to. They don't want to take claim. Yeah, they really are not. It's on IMDb, the writer and director of this episode. What is this episode called? Downtown Crossing. Yeah.
Also, the episode title is trash as well.
I think that Downtown Crossing is a pedestrian shopping zone in Boston.
Okay, which we'll get
like, how
it.
Would we know? We're stupid.
Well, not just that. Just the fact that Joey is walking around in Boston, one of the like busiest cities in the United States.
Middle of the night.
And there's nobody else on the streets. Ridiculous.
Downtown
how
crossing.
Are you going to put her? She's not in some random side alley. Mm-hmm. She is in the hub. The hub. Yeah.
Okay. Downtown here we crossing. Go. I found Tom. It's Tom's fault. He's the writer.
Tom
Capinos.
God Who damn it, you? Tom.
Tom, what else? And then David Petrichara is the director. I blame you too.
David.
Okay. So, Tom, what else have you done in your life? You were born in Levittstown, New York. How far is that from you?
Town? I have family
well,
in Levittstown.
We're disowning you. Oh, that's what okay. we're doing. Yeah. Born in 1969. Guess what? He's nice. Never had a 69, because if he did, then he would write a better episode. Is that what I'm saying right now? He hasn't done anything since 2019. Maybe because they all saw this episode of Dawson's Creek and they said, fuck this. We won't do this anymore.
You're not hireable anymore.
He was a showrunner for California Cornication.
California Cornication? Is that when they added corn into Californication?
Or Californication. I don't know about that show.
Probably I watched a little bit of it.
I won't watch it. Oh.
Because okay. get it, Fornication, Cali. And it's that song. Is it Red Hot Chili Peppers?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that
Californication.
Song. You know, back in the day,
the Red Hot Chili Peppers
were my favorite band. I saw them twice. And they were very good.
Mm-hmm. They're all right.
They're all right. Okay.
I'll fuck with a song or two.
Yeah. I mean, like your favorite band is Journey and it always has been Journey. So.
Okay. You say that with such disdain in your voice and judgment.
No, there wasn't. There was a little.
Just a dash.
So. This episode, like, okay. So I came into it. I was just like, hey. My name is Sarah. I'm going to watch this episode of Dawson's Creek. I had no idea what I was getting into. I will say, we talked about last week how the little box that has a little picture.
Oh, I forget. Why am I blanking on the name of it?
The thumbnail.
Thumbnail.
The thumbnail is very spoilery.
It's ridiculous.
So last week I saw Joey at a hospital bed.
Of course.
I didn't know. I did not see who it was. But I just saw her at a hospital bed.
Right.
So I was like, oh no, like Dawson, Pacey, Jack, like who's in the hospital? Nobody. Nobody that we know.
Some random.
Yeah. So I was expecting something to go into this. Oh, maybe I thought it was Professor Wilder. That would track.
Yeah.
But no, it was none of the above. And the last thing that I was expecting was an all Joey Potter episode.
Yeah. Which answers the question of who is in every episode of Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. Which I answered that question like five
times.
Tammy
gave you the riddle and you solved it. And then
he refused to confirm it until this episode.
I bet you he left a voicemail confirming it.
Yeah. You were waiting for it. Now, what did we do to deserve this?
This episode. We have to be very upfront with the listeners right now.
Yeah.
We're going to trash this episode if you can tell already. Yeah. It's fucking terrible. It's not terrible because it's like, it's partly terrible because it's a Joey-centric episode. It's more that like, if it had done literally anything that mattered, maybe we would come in here with like, at least a like, well, at least they did this. No. it does nothing to move Joey's character forward, to give her any kind of character development. It's all just it. You know what? It screams to me network desperation of we need a big, like, we can make this trailer. Joey's gonna get mugged. There's gonna be a car accident. Like, it all ties back to her dad. And so I can picture what the trailer for this episode looked like and how they marketed it as the TV continued. And it's, oh my God, the drama. And it is like a fucking fart of an episode. It's nothing. It's a fart in the fucking wind. It's nothing. And it's a waste of all of our time. And it's just like, so I just wanted to prepare the listeners. We're gonna completely trash this episode.
Yeah,
I can't imagine this is your favorite episode, but if you know.
Yeah, and like, if you don't like negativity, like, I totally understand that. I am trying to eliminate negativity from my life as well. So if you want to bow out, totally fine. I also refuse to go like beat by beat in this episode.
We can't. We simply cannot.
Because what's the point?
There's zero point.
It's so offensive that basically I tried to get out of stopping myself to speak a full hour plus about this podcast by offering up an AMA. And I don't know what it says about us or our listeners that they voted. They don't want to know shit about us.
You know what it is, Sarah? It's the way you worded the poll. Man. Because you worded it too, like, would you rather have, we talk about the episode a little bit and then do an AMA, or would you rather have us roast and bash this episode?
Okay, so
People love a roast and a bash.
Okay, it was my wording. I was just like, our listeners do not want to know shit about us.
No, they're like, don't talk about yourselves. Like, don't give a single fuck about
you. They're like, you know what? Every single week when you do that 15 minutes where you talk about we don't fucking care.
Well, they skip right through that.
Is it that we're so transparent about our lives on this podcast? They're like, we know everything about you and we're done with it.
It could be. We don't have enough skeletons in our closet.
I have skeletons, baby. Ask me about it. I have so much trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Why aren't you asking us questions, listeners?
You fuckers don't care what my favorite color is. None of you care.
Can I guess what your favorite color is?
You've known a billion times, but yes.
I was going to try to impress the listeners when I said it's gray.
It's gray. It's gray.
And everyone can make fun of you because it's gray. If that's not the most Pisces sad girl moment I've ever heard in my entire life, gray is a favorite color.
I do like gray a lot, but then everybody's like, Sarah, your real favorite color is pink. Like,
you do have a lot of pink things.
You have all these pink things. And I like gray better. I do.
The good news is your two favorite colors go very well together.
They do. Great. They do indeed. Yeah. Love gray, love pink. But guess what? The listeners don't care.
No, they're like, fuck your favorite color. Bash the episode.
Bash the episode. We don't want an AMA. We got one question for our AMA.
Oh, what is it?
Okay, here we go.
So if you don't want to hear about our lives, listeners, skip forward. I love how they're like, we asked you to bash the episode, not us.
Okay. My best friend, Jamie. Now, Jamie, this is a little confusing. I don't want to roast you, but your thing is at Alex Cavafran.
Cavafran.
Is your name her Jamie Twitter name? Or is it Alex? I don't know,
but don't roast the listener that actually sent us in a question.
Jamie, please. Alex.
We love you.
I just said that you were my favorite. Have you ever considered doing My So-Called Life?
Oh, well, we did cover the premiere, the pilot of My So-Called Life over on pilot season with Michael J. Clarke, Once Upon a Time. You watched the entire season.
Indeed, I did. That.
I only have seen the pilot. So I guess the answer is like, we kind of have covered it. I don't know. Is it only one season?
One season. So I think it's a very good candidate for our new 2023 thing of perhaps doing one-off seasons of 90s shows.
Yeah, add it to the list, baby.
Yeah, so we would consider it. Now, you could have that and more if only you voted for us to do an AMA.
That's what you're missing out on, all the hot tea.
Yeah. But you know, so is life. You don't want to know about us. That's fine.
We don't give a single fuck about our lives. It's cool. We get it. Dawson's Creek is more exciting than our lives. Don't worry about it.
Like Joey Potter's more exciting than us.
That's simply not true. This is actual falsehood.
That's what they're saying. It's fine. Guess what? I'm a loser. I know I'm a loser.
Well, we all kind of know we're losers, you know, like
literally, no popular person is like getting on a podcast. They're like out doing non-podcast.
They're doing popular people things.
Popular, like, which I don't even know what that consists of because I've never been popular. That's something that you could have learned if only you chose to do an AMA.
If you wanted to ask us, why aren't you popular, Justin Sarah? Well, we can't answer that because you didn't ask us. So that's how this fucking
goes. All right. Let's hone it in.
Roasting up the listeners is over.
We're 14 minutes in, and this is about the time where our normal listener would fast forward to.
Probably. As Sarah said, we're not taking this episode beat by beat because you know what, it doesn't fucking deserve it. So we're gonna kind of go like more like scene by scene where we pick up where we left off. Joey is like strolling in to get money out of an ATM. She's calling Professor Wilder like, oh hey, hi, I wanna stop by,
I finished up trolling around Boston to Audrey and making her feel better and Pacey. And then I went to Dawson and said, have you ever considered that maybe I'm your sign? Whatever that means. We still don't know.
Ridiculous.
So she's finished up her shitty advice and she's grabbing some cash. Why does she need cash to hang out with Professor Wilder?
No idea. This is the 90s. We don't ask why people need cash. They just needed it whatever reason.
Fair enough.
She's like walking down the street and this creepy guy is on the opposite sidewalk.
I knew what was happening at this point.
He tried
to enter in the bank. I saw him try to pull open the bank.
Well, the other thing is, and I'm going to do my very, very best when I troll Joey this episode to not like victim blame, because muggings happen, right? Like robberies happen, bad things happen to people, and it's not their fault that those things happen to them. But it also was wild to me that Joey didn't notice the guy across the street or didn't even notice him crossing the way. I just feel like if I am a young woman in a busy city, again, a busy city like Boston where no one's on the fucking road, it's fine. Yeah. I'm aware of my surroundings maybe a little more. I mean, and she doesn't even have like earbuds in or anything. Like nowadays, you'd expect everyone to have earbuds in when they're walking. But it was wild to me that she didn't even notice him until he's like right in front of her face.
Because she is love struck. She's so focused on being
like,
in love.
Oh my
she's
God. Professor Wilder, like, Wilder. So cute.
Yeah, because this is the same day that she kissed him. A big whopping kiss. So he's tracking her. He has pointed her out as his target. And he comes right up in his face. And basically he asks for money. She says no. And then he lies, by the way. He's like, I'm not going to mug you and I'm not going to sexually harass you.
Yeah.
That was a lie.
Like, this whole thing. Okay. The thing that was weirdest about this episode is like this mugger, like any version. I've not been mugged. But I should knock on all of the wood. I don't want to be mugged. But like this, I don't. He makes no sense to me. It's like he feels like he's just very lonely, like wants someone to talk to.
This motherfucker is the loneliest bastard that ever existed.
It's just like, I'm not going to mug you. I'm not going to rape you. I'm not going to do mean things to you. But like, also, I want your money.
Also, I'm not. Yeah, exactly.
But let's chat about it first for like 30 minutes of the episode.
Yeah. Now, do you think that if she just handed over the 20 bucks that she took out from the bank account, if he would have left her alone? Probably
no.
Not.
No, yeah. Because he's lonely. Literally, he doesn't just want the money. He wants the attention and he wants to have someone to talk to.
She's lonely too because she has full ass conversations with this man. She entertains man so much.
It's very strange, like again in this moment where he is like harassing her, like physically getting very close to her. She is doing like I feel like at this point you can't blame anybody for whatever they do, because whatever they do is based off of like instinct, right?
Correct.
And her instinct is to like shut him down, say like, no, I don't have any money, I'm not giving you any money. And like basically just try to walk around him like a bunch of times, which again, that's how she's reacting. That's not a bad thing. Like, you're going to react how you're going to react in the moment. But he, like, eventually, he shows that he has a gun in his jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when we get the, like, the silly intro that you
it's just
about.
Very dramatic. And like I said, it's like a dark, smoky background, and it has, like, some, like, creepy, sad music.
Yeah.
And it's very dramatic. It's just really, really dramatic.
It's so, like, dour. And then we come back to, like, him holding her gunpoint, like, pulling her over into, like, this one section of the street and basically
not
being,
one
like,
person passes.
No, it's ridiculous. He's like, listen, I know you're a little rich girl. I saw you at the ATM. Where do you go to school? I don't understand why Joey tells him. Again, like, I'm not trying to victim blame. Like, I'm really doing my best not to. But, like, do you want this man to come find you after? Like, why aren't you lying?
There's hundreds of schools in Boston. I don't understand why she gave him her real name. And I don't under. I guess, like, the point is like, he's going to take her debit card anyway. He's going to have access, like, to her name.
Yeah, but that's fair. I still, like, I wouldn't tell him where I went to school because I just feel like he's going to come find me. Again, like, whatever Joey does is, like, in the heat of the moment. Like, I don't know what I would do in the heat of the moment, but it just feels like, oh, my God, Joey, stop. Like, don't tell him where you go to school. It's very scary.
I think that there's, by the way, like, I don't know how to do it, which doesn't really help what I'm going to say. But I think that there's a way with iPhones in particular, if you press a certain button multiple times.
Oh, it calls the police.
An emergency call.
That's cool.
So I think, like, nowadays there is ways for you to be protected in terms of making, like, an emergency call or whatever, and they'll probably be able to track you. But the amount of time it took for the police and the ambulance to come after she eventually did call
in Boston,
like, there, where there's, like, probably a cop on every corner. It's like, it took, like, a half an hour for a fucking ambulance and cop car to come around. It was ridiculous. But that's in a few minutes. Basically, she eventually gives him the cell phone and the money. And
$20 is what she took out of an ATM. Like, why even bother? But okay.
Exactly. And then eventually he's like, you know what? You probably have more than that. And she kicks him, which I was very entertained by because of course. It reminds me of, like, the creepy episode where she, like, the four scary stories.
I think.
Where she, like, dropped kicked.
She did I forget what it's called, but it's a straight up just, like, windmill kick to the face.
Oh, wait, did you ever take self-defense class?
No, but I know, like, I've seen some, like, YouTube videos in terms of, like, what you should do.
Yeah. Senior year, this was the only time in gym that I actually enjoyed myself being there. Senior year of high school in gym, I opted to take, like, self-defense courses.
That's great that they offered that.
I know. And this was in 2007, right? And we got to do, like, self-defense, and we learned, like, if somebody grabbed your wrist, what you should do. And we, like, would practice on each other. Like, your friend would, like, grab your wrist and then blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Great times. Of course, this was, like, 1,000 years ago, but it was very handy to do that right before you went off to college.
No,
right?
That's really, really, that's honestly really, really good, because I've said, like, when I was in high school, I don't feel like they taught a lot of, like, life skills.
Yeah.
Like, how to balance a checkbook, how to pay your bills, how to, you know what I mean? How to do your taxes. We didn't learn any of that. Maybe they do now. Wait, we're in our 30s. So, like,
I doubt it. I think
probably not.
Honestly, I don't want to be pessimistic, but I think the system purposely doesn't teach you this stuff so that you can mess up and then
tinfoil hat.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a Joey, but I don't know. So,
but yeah, it's like, from what I know, like, I know the basics of, like, if someone zip ties your hands, you, like, bring your hands straight up and then down next to your sides to break the zip tie. Like, there are certain things I know, and that obviously we've all seen Miss Congeniality, so we know to sing. Yeah.
I do know that.
But yeah, like, there is only so much Joey can do when she kicks the the phone out of his hands. She like runs to pick it up and then tries to run away. But my girl is in some like boots, some booties. Like heel boots,
heel booties.
And he catches
it's
her.
It's snowy. It's icy. So obviously he catches up with her and he's like, you shouldn't have done that, girly.
Yeah. Yeah. So he like makes her go to go into the ATM again because he knows she has a debit card. And so all she has like in her checking account is like $47, but in her savings account, she has $507.
This really upset me. Number one, I was just like very grateful that she didn't have like $20,000 in her bank account.
I don't think you could take that much out of an ATM at once anyway.
Sure. But like, we know that Nelson gave her like a chunk of money to pay for school. So I was expecting that. But it made me so sad that he cleared out her bank account when all she had was $500. And he like, and like, we know he doesn't know this, but we know that Joey has no money. Like, this is her life savings, essentially. There's no daddy for her to go call. There's no like rich uncle that she can get money from. Like, this is it. Like, if he actually got away with this money, like,
yeah,
he had no money. She would have no money to like buy food. She would probably have no money to buy books next semester. It made me so sad. And I know that this actually does happen. And it, like, if somebody did to me, I'd be like, I have no money. Like, you're taking from me, like, all I have. It just made me so depressed thinking.
No, it is really sad for someone like Joey, who doesn't have a ton of money, to then have to deal with not only not having the money anymore, but having this like traumatic experience.
Yeah.
And like, all the time is spent, again, the show is trying to make the mugger like charismatic. Like, you can feel that that's what they're aiming to do, because he's trying to be like, I'm not gonna kill you, just care, like, I'm gonna, unless I kill you, just kidding. Like, he has like these like moments where like you can tell the show wants us to be like, oh, he's silly, like he's harmless, but like, he certainly does not feel harmless when he has a gun pointed to one of our main characters'
heads. For me, he felt erratic. Like, he just felt erratic. And it made him seem like he had a couple of like screws loose, because he would be like overly friendly and like acting like what he was doing was basically a favor for her. And I mean, it is Joey to be a sass and kind of like fight back, but do you think like a small town girl like Joey, who's never lived in a big city, would still have that Joey sass when being mugged? Is this out of character for her?
I do think it's in character. And the reason I think it's in character is because she doesn't have a lot. And so I feel like she feels fiercely protective of what she does have, because it takes a lot for her to get that much money and to like be able to save that much money. Mm-hmm. And so I understand why she would be like really sassy and really like annoyed with the entire experience. Like, ugh, I can't believe you're gonna take all my money, you piece of crap. Like,
right.
I think it is in Joey's character. It's just more of like, it's not compelling to watch, is what it is. No. It's just sad, and the guy seems desperate, and like, he can't even just leave after he takes the money. Now he has to like interrogate her about like, oh, like, if you were mad at your boyfriend, how could he get in your good graces?
Right.
And he just like continues to interrogate her.
Right. It's but just, also he's talking about himself. Like, he's talking about, we now know that he's a drug dealer. We now know that he's married, but his marriage is not going well, and they're in an argument.
Yeah.
And we start like learning about this guy, and I don't know if we're supposed to start being interested in him. Joey is asking like more, like I said, like, she's entertaining all of this.
That was the part that I found unbelievable, though, because again, like, the way the show is framing it or wants us to feel is like, oh, Joey thinks this guy is like her dad. Like, that's how he reminds her of her dad, because he's a drug dealer and because, again, he's quote unquote charismatic. But like, so she's entertaining his shenanigans, and like, again, I'm not victim blaming. It's more of, this is not how I would have handled it. Like, I feel like my prerogative is to get this guy out of my fucking face and like get him away from me. Right. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she's like continuing the conversation, like, unnecessarily. She's like, she's probing questions as well.
Yeah. I mean, she is. And that's what I guess I have the biggest issue with, is that not enough that, like, he stole her phone, stole all the money that she literally has in this world, and he continues to ask her questions and she stops. Like, if it was, I would just fucking bolt, like, stop entertaining his shit.
Yeah.
And she, then, you know,
entertaining it a little bit.
He like asks inappropriate questions, like, are you a virgin? And like, I don't know, like, I know that, like, it's hard for her to get out because he's like always in her face, but I don't know. Like, I just,
yeah. It's just like uncomfortable, and it's a prolonged uncomfortability. Like, we have to witness this mugging situation for like half the episode, eventually to the point where he takes her coat because he wants to give that to his wife as like a gift.
Right.
So she's left in the cold in like her sweater and scarf.
Oh, and then is this where we get our first like alone again?
Yeah.
That song. Okay. I feel like we've heard this song
before. So many times we've heard it.
This is like Dawson's Creek's favorite song to play.
But I feel like it's the sad Joey song.
It's the sad alone again. I don't even know what song this is.
No one cares because it's not even good.
I don't even think it's a real song. Alone again song, Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, what comes up on the Googs?
Let's see. Alan, nope.
Alan, I think it's a woman, isn't it?
I mean, I thought so. Gilbert Sullivan.
Maybe it's the original version and they redid it or something.
I have no idea what the song
alone
is.
Alone again. It's terrible. And so she's like walking down the street and he stops in the middle of the road to like wave at her. And this fucking car smashes into him and then just fucking bolts.
Very Mean Girls, very Final Destination. It was funny. Did you laugh? I laughed.
It was very funny. It was so stupid.
And yeah, it was a hit and run. The car ran off.
Yeah, the car leaves. And like, okay, so I need to ask you what you would do, right? So because this guy looks unconscious in the middle of the street, has your money, has your cell phone, has your coat. What are you doing? Are you calling the cops? Are you taking your crap and leaving? Okay. Are you just running away?
Okay, number one, I'm just so tickled the fact that, like, first things first, Joey's like, I'm taking my coat.
Taking my coat. This guy's bleeding from the mouth.
She's like, I'm taking my coat.
She's like, cutting chili.
I love how she was like really debating with herself, like what she should do. She was like staring at him. She was like, oh no.
Again, empty street in Boston. Not a single human being.
Not a single person. 100% I would take my stuff back, like, I mean, I want my shit.
Well,
I want,
you know,
my
what
money.
I would do first, though? I would kick this fucker to make sure he's actually, like, unconscious.
No,
before
you
I'm reaching
him.
My hands in his pockets.
No, you kick him, and then he grabs your ankle.
But he grabbed her hand regardless.
True. But coat first, right?
Coat first.
She's cold.
She's chilly. She goes to grab the cell phone, and he grabs her arm, and he's just like, no, you can't call anybody. And she's like, I'm calling for help. Like, you need to be seen by a doctor. And he's just like literally bleeding from the mouth. Like, I'm fine.
What's the injuries here? He's internally bleeding.
I mean, fuck yeah. He got smashed by a goddamn car, and he's bleeding out of his mouth. I don't think it's a mouth injury.
Got broken and they stabbed his lungs or something like that.
It stabbed something on the inside.
Right.
And so he holds her up at gunpoint and he's just like, you say or you die. And she's like, you're not going to shoot me. I'm going to go grab my cell phone. And she calls his bluff. And when he goes to shoot the gun, there's like literally no ammo in it.
Which pissed me off too. Like, it doesn't surprise me that the gun was not really loaded. But it just pisses me off. Like, but this is like the games that the criminals play. I don't know.
Yeah.
We just watched Thelma and Louise. We saw people held up at gunpoint. But Thelma had the bullets.
Thelma and Louise kicks this fucking episode's ass from here to fucking Boston.
For like criminals that
are it's so much better.
Shit. Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous because he's like, no, don't call the cops. I can't go to jail. It's like, you're fucking internally bleeding, you dumbass.
Number one, I would call the cops. And like, he should go to the hospital and then go to jail. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what she does. So she, here's the thing I think that was interesting though. So she like, she calls the cops and the ambulance, and then she just goes and like sits with him in the middle of the street. I'm like, girl, either stand on the side of the street so you don't get killed too, or yes, drag his ass to the side of the street.
No. You don't want to move him. You can't move the body. Well, that's stood rule up. Number one. What kind of freaking criminal are you? You don't move the body.
I'm not a criminal is the point. What do you mean?
No, you never move. Number one, if you move him, he's probably going to like be an incredible amount of pain. Like the choice is like, you should leave him where he's at. You don't want to pull him. Also, in terms of like evidence, like you don't want to touch him. I know that he's alive, but don't touch the body.
He's alive trying to smoke cigarettes. Like, so yeah, yeah. So she, I it's just like, again, it's wild to me that she goes and helps him light a cigarette in the middle of the street, and she's squatting down, making herself smaller, and then she sits. And yeah, I'm like, girl, you're going to get hit by a car. Like, get out of the road.
I know. Well, there's nobody else in Boston except these
nobody else in Boston
in that car. Yeah, and this is like another thing. It takes so long for the car or the police to get there, the ambulance to get there. And they have a full-ass fucking conversation where she gives him the full biography of her life. She talks about her father was a drug addict. Her mother died of cancer.
They have like a whole conversation, and how, again, like how her father used to deal drugs and he went to prison and that's where he is mm-hmm. now. And he's trying to figure, she always was trying to figure out like why he would do it when he has a wife and two daughters. And she, like, again, this show is really trying its best to like make connections and make it explain why Joey is entertaining this dickhead's like breath. Right. And it's, and she says, maybe that's why I'm being so nice to you. I want to know why. And I'm just like, okay, show, like, really hit us over the head with it, please.
Well, and this guy is not Mr. Potter, because, okay, so like Mr. Potter's whole thing was that like, I did it to like take care of my family. Mr. Potter never stole the money that was supposed to go to the girl's daycare and use it on drugs for himself.
Right.
I don't remember that.
Well, we never got the impression that Mr. Potter was a drug user, just that he sold them, right?
As far as I know,
this guy is
he was a cheater.
Yes, yeah, of course. But this guy, I think, is also like an addict as well.
Oh, I believe so. So
I think based on what he says,
he stole the money that he was supposed to use for his daughter's daycare on himself, and that was kind of despicable. Hated that. He says that he deals mostly E. Joey knows E. She hasn't used it, but she came across it. Remember that episode where they went to the rave?
Oh my god,
those were good times. That was when I enjoyed the show. Remember Andy was on E on that episode? Oh, actually that was the episode before Andy left. Those were bad times.
Those were really bad times.
those were the worst times. We miss it. I mean at least that episode was like much more enjoyable than this one.
Of course, I mean most things are.
What would you do if Yui got the drugs from this guy that made Andy pass out? A full circle moment.
I don't know about that. I don't think that would work
either. I'm just trying to make this.
I don't think anything would work.
Hey, do you have? You're from the Creek. Have you ever heard of that like big beaked kid, Yui?
Have you ever heard of that guy that's almost attractive, but not quite?
But not quite. And like the weirdest thing is that he spells his name D-R-U-E. What the fuck is up with
his
that
mom's
kid?
A complete bitch.
Such a bitch. I just saw him on the streets the other day and I was like, hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you a bit. And Joey's like, no, never heard of him. Don't know him.
Like, you know what?
Mariah Carey.
At least make me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking Yui, man.
It would at least make me giggle a little bit. But this, you know what? You know what gave me the biggest laugh this whole episode?
What's that?
The paramedics arriving, the cop talking to Joey.
Oh, she's like, I'm fine. I'm going to go home. And then she fucking, what? What did she do?
She fucking faints.
Yeah, like, Joey, how did we get here? Like, you said you were fine a minute ago. You were just hanging out with him.
Oh,
my
God.
Why did she faint?
It's so stupid. Like, she just, she fucking just faints, and they're like, oh, okay, guess I got, we got to bring her now to the hospital.
Bring her. And was she in comes, shock? She fainted by shock?
You know what? She's just, oh, the drama. But the best part is, when she wakes up, she's sitting up in a hospital bed, not laying down. She's full on sitting up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. They just leave her sitting?
I don't think so. I think
it's so weird.
I don't know. So the doctor is like, yeah, he said you were in shock. You must have fainted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she asks about the guy, and he's in surgery. He has lots of internal bleeding. And so Joey is just like, okay, I guess I'm going to leave. But then she takes it upon herself. There's a little girl alone with a teddy bear in the middle of the freaking room.
Why the she never is. She is. I don't know what is up with her. Like, she will not fucking just go home. She is entertaining.
Really,
so
a self-sabotager.
Yeah. She, like, sees this little girl with a teddy bear and is like, hey, little girl, like, what's going on? Where's your mommy? Her mom was 5 feet away from her.
Yeah.
Her mom was right there. How did this motherfucker get lost? She was right near her mom.
Joey, like, takes this kid. And like, okay, just bring the kid to a hospital worker. Like, why are you, you know? But yeah, then it turns out, so her name is Grace. Yeah. The mom's name is Grace. The kid's name is Sammy.
Who the fuck cares?
And yeah, and the mom is like,
oh yeah, little guys' names for little girls.
Oh, girl, I don't even know. Can you do me a huge favor and watch my child? This is a stranger. A stranger.
Yeah. Joey could be a kidnapper.
It's ridiculous. She's like, here, thank you so much. Just go watch her. It's like, get a fucking hospital worker or just have the kid at the counter with you.
Also, the only kid that I've ever seen Joey interact with is baby Alexander. And I would not say that she is like a natural born caretaker.
She's not a kid person. I think it's, you know what it is?
What's that?
They cast a kid that looks a little bit like Joey in terms of she's a white kid with brown hair and she has these big, big eyes.
Yeah. Now, okay. So I am going to get all like therapy on us. And, you know, have you ever heard of like the whole healing your inner child thing? This is what this episode is. Now, I assume that in the 90s, healing your inner child was a therapy mechanism, and this is what this is. Like, this is what I think that the show is trying to do. They're trying to heal Joey's inner child and find acceptance that she had a father that was emotionally and physically unavailable and chose a life of crime rather than spending time with her kid. And she was able to talk to the child as if it was herself and try to heal the child's perspective on her father, and in turn heal her own perspective on herself with her relationship with her father. This is what I think the show is trying to do. So maybe I'm giving it too many props. Maybe.
No, I think it's trying to do it. I just don't think it does it successfully.
No. Because you know what? Like, two totally different situations, right? Like, this, it's not apples to apples.
No, it's not. It's very different. And it's so stupid that, like, okay, we find out, which we already knew, that, like, okay, Sammy's dad is the mugger, and he got hit by a car.
What's the likelihood of this?
This is so stupid.
Hundreds of people in this hospital, I am sure, but it is so coincidental that this winds up happening.
And it's so stupid. And so they're like, oh, what are you here for? And Joey's like, oh, I got mugged. And she's like, oh, tell me about your husband. Oh, he's a loser. Like, we got married young. Like,
And blah, she, blah, 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 once blah. Again, she's entertaining this person. I can't get Joey to talk about anything at any time and any situation to anybody. But today, this bitch is the chattiest motherfucker that ever lived.
Yeah, no, she's a chatterbox right now. And she just feels
the need. She never talks. We can't get her to talk, but she won't freaking shut up today. And she talks to this stranger and gives, like, asks all these questions about her and all this crap. She soon realizes that this is the wife and the child of the mugger. And it doesn't take too long for the wife to realize that she is the victim.
Yeah, yeah. Because she says, oh, the guy who mugged me got hit by a car. And yeah, like Joey says, well, if it makes you feel any better, he was nice about it. And it's like,
was he though?
What?
Was he though? He held you up in gunpoint.
Yeah.
He harassed you. He was asking inappropriate sexual questions to you.
Yeah.
He would not let you leave. I don't think that he was being nice about it.
No, was not being nice about it at all. And that's why it kills me when, like, Grace is like, all right, fine. Like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm not waiting around for this motherfucker anymore. And Joey's like, oh, you're just going to leave? And it's like, yeah, she's going to get as far fucking away from this guy as possible.
Well, she's going to get her child away from this man as soon as possible.
Exactly. Like, she has every right to stay away from that fucker who held you up at gunpoint to try to mug you and sexually harass you. Like, who wants their child around someone like that?
I certainly wouldn't.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And this is when, like, the doctor comes out and is like, oh, he's looking for his wife. And so Joey goes in and sits by him. And I'm like, Joey, please, for the love of God, get the fuck out of here. Like, I just don't understand why she's entertaining this fucking guy's shenanigans at all. At all.
It's just continuous, like, entertaining. Like, she is not protecting herself in this situation and getting away and making sure that she feels taken care of. I it's really mind-boggling. Like, get the fuck out of there. Like, go and find a safe space for yourself. Go hang out with, like, Audrey. Go to your dorm room. Like, do not stop, do not pass go or whatever. Like, just get out of there. What the heck?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But he, like, he says he wanted to tell her, like, why he needed the money so badly. It was like you said, the whole daycare thing, whatever, whatever. I love my wife. I love my daughter. Blah, 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 blah. Like, this is all so stupid. Like, and he still is an ass. I don't understand why she still entertains any of this. But you know what? The great news is that he dies.
Yeah, while talking to Joey. But yeah, like, because she starts talking about her dad, right, again.
Yeah.
And that, like, oh, like, he was my hero, essentially. And he was asking questions like, oh, like, did you ever forgive him or something along those lines? Yeah. And he goes and dies on her. Yep. And then this is, like, another thing that really pissed me off. She goes out, finds Grace again, and she is the one that tells Grace that the mugger died. She's the one, not the doctor. Like, not, and she tells, oh, he didn't make it. It's like, ma'am, you have no authority here to give medical updates. And then the most egregious part, I guess, is she, like, Grace goes off and cries on a bench. And then Joey is left to be like, oh, because the kid was like, oh, Joey, did my daddy hurt you?
Yeah, she, like, oh, I can't. This,
and
this,
she, and Joey
me,
was
I'm
like,
great.
No, actually, he saved me because I was not paying attention in the street, which was partially true, but I wasn't paying attention in the street and a car was going to hit me and he saved me. And then the little girl's like, mommy, daddy's a hero.
I just feel like this is not her place to lie to this kid.
No, it's not. It's,
like,
the,
it's
mother's
so
choice.
Ridiculous.
It's the mother's choice. It's egregious. It's ridiculous.
I was
annoying. But apparently Grace was appreciative because she mouthed thank you to Joey, because at least now the little girl will know that her daddy is not a screw up.
Okay, great. And so Joey's like, you know what? I'm not only going to do all that, then there goes all my $500.
Okay, this is what pisses me off. Joey, this is all you fucking have in the world. Where else are you going to get this money? You worked for Mrs. Valentine for years or a year to make this money. You have no other money. You have no money. You have no money. You have no fucking money. What are you going to do? They have money. Oh, my God. Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe this. I couldn't. Yep. I hated it. This is, and like, I just couldn't believe it. She gave all her money. All
They're
her
not your
money.
Responsibility, Joey. Like, you don't need
no.
to. You don't need to, girl.
No. Oh my God, I forgot it's, about that. I forgot about it.
It's dumb. It's terrible.
I
hate it.
I am floored. I am floored Because you know what? I'm protective of what I have, especially because I'm not some like Vanderbilt in the world. Like the little funds that I do have to protect it. And she comes from freaking nothing. And why would she give all that she has to this woman?
It just like in a different, if they had like done this episode differently, maybe you can like imagine a world where this is an earned moment, but it's just completely unearned. It makes no sense. It's stupid. This entire episode is a waste of time and does nothing. Like, yeah, we know Joey's dad's a drug dealer. We know she has issues with him. This didn't do anything to like expand on that or like it just felt like out of place. It really, this is what happened. The show is like, we need a big to be continued moment. We need a big high stakes drama moment. Okay, what are we going to do? Let's think about this. Joey's in Boston. What's going to happen in Boston? Oh, she's going to get mugged. Oh, but the mugger is a drug dealer like her dad. So we can explore Joey's backstory. They like, you could see the cogs of what they're trying to do, but like, it's so pointless and it's not effective at all. And it's just a very, very crappy episode of TV. And it's like, where the fuck are the other Creek creeps?
Where's anybody? When she was in the hospital, why did she not call Dawson? Why did she not call PC? Why is nobody there to support Joey? Why didn't she call any support system that she has? Bessie, anybody? Why is she doing this on her own? Why? Just why?
Just why?
And why did the show, if they wanted to highlight Katie Holmes, because I do think as the female lead, I do think that she deserves to be highlighted, as we've been saying all season. She hasn't really had her time to shine. I don't think the thought of having an all Joey episode and exploring her backstory is a bad thing at freaking all, but I would rather her go back to jail and see her father again and come to terms with like all this shit one-on-one with her dad, if we want to work out some shit with her dad. Like, how about that? Like, let's actually dig in deep. Let her go to therapy and try to work all this shit out. Why the fuck do you want to come up with some convoluted story with some guy where the comparison is not one-to-one, as we've been saying? It is very different. It's a very different situation. Like, it's just, it is trying to do something and it doesn't land make the landing. It's just ridiculous. And I really hate it. I really, really hated this. I thought it was a waste of time. It pissed me off. The only, and then we end the episode with her walking on the street back to alone again. And then that's it. That's the fucking episode. What the fuck, Dawson's Creek? Go fuck yourself.
This episode is fucking horrendous. No, you're fine. I mean,
have you ever heard me so worked up about anything in my life?
No, because this is such a shit episode and a waste of our time. But let's take a quick break, go to an ad break, and then we're going to come back and we'll go through a little bit of feedback that we got.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Well, we did get a voicemail from Temi. Let's see what he has to say. Maybe he likes the episode. Maybe he doesn't mind it as much, you know, considering how much we absolutely despised it. Maybe he's just like, it's fine. Let's see what he has to say.
Hi, ladies. This episode is basically a modern Shakespearean take on what a mugging would be like. You can tell because the mugger said, I may just shoot you yet. I guess the whole event isn't funny, but the writing is funny.
Yeah, the writing.
The writing and the idea of the episode. The way it was executed, I guess. The writing. And the actor, he said, Manono Blahnik. So, I mean, where is the script supervisor on set, right? And then for Sarah, I want to address what last episode, at 25-22, you disparaged sports video games And I want to say, you can learn a lot about sports by playing video games nowadays. Jess was talking about button mashing. I think it's more than that these days, that you can actually simulate the game. So and it can be up to the point where you can play FIFA or a similar video game and actually learn how to improve your own technique in the game. I played FIFA and I learned how to kick the ball aerially, which I wasn't very good at before, in other games like kickball. So the video games help you coordinate your mind, visualize, you know, just as you don't love sports, I don't understand how you don't love sports. It can be hard to organize soccer games, so I think FIFA can be a nice replacement. And then with sports, you know, it's the mindset. The reasons why you like it and who introduces you and when they introduce you can make a big impact. For example, you like Alabama football because it's sorority culture. Just think about Hayden Panettiere in Remember the Titans. She was obsessed as a little girl with football. Why? Because of her dad, the coach. Bye.
Timmy
just spent a full-on entire voicemail.
So bad that you spent the majority of your voicemail talking about sports. Timmy,
I am dying right now at Timmy being like marking down the timestamp of when you bashed people that play video games.
Yeah,
that are sports video games.
Yeah,
and he hates this episode. This is how nothing this episode is that he spends the entire voicemail talking about sports.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. We also got feedback from Tom Palmer about the whole sports video game thing.
Oh, wait, I'm so into sports now because guess what? I'm getting into basketball.
Sarah. What? Okay, all right.
What?
Anybody that says I'm so into sports right now, I just think isn't.
I've been watching.
I'm like so into sports.
I'm like so into basketball.
Right? Why are you into basketball? What are you doing?
I was watching like UCLA basketball, and I have like a favorite player, Tiger Campbell. And
there's a human being named Tiger.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. T Y G E R. Does that sound familiar? It does.
It does.
We're joking because one of the enemies that we fought in our D&D home game was named Tiger. Yeah. And he was named after this player.
I did not know that. I just
on UCLA messing around basketball. With
that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I've been watching UCLA basketball in Go Sport. Yeah.
Can I tell you what I hate most about basketball?
The squeaks.
The squeaks.
Me too.
Why are they squeaking all the time?
I don't know. Alex said that it's because they play hard or something.
Get out of here. Get them shoes that don't squeak. This is 2023.
He said it's good when it squeaks because that means that they're playing hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. That's the exact thing that I said, actually, funnily enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, we're not talking about this episode.
Of course we aren't, because it sucks.
Okay. What else? Do we have an email from our friend Kimmy?
I love how you ask. Do we have an email from our friend Kimmy? Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh my God,
Sarah, how'd you know? We
do. What a surprise. Which, by the way, I think I talked to you about like off air about how like exclusive Kimmy's book club is.
Yeah.
I finally got the invite.
You got Thank the invite. I love how you say this. Like, you're shading Kimmy. She's going to listen to this.
No, it was funny because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm desperately trying to get into the book club, but I finally got access.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's I'm really excited.
Look at that. Look at you.
Really excited.
We did get an email from Kimmy entitled, "What in the actual Stockholm Syndrome is this episode?" So I'm going to read this entire email in full. Because one, I love it. And two, we're only 56 minutes into a podcast that's normally like 2 hours. So we got time. I have to believe that this actor, real name is Sam Ball, known as Joey's Mugger, but most famously known as Jeremiah from Sex and the City. Do you remember that episode?
Jeremiah was a bulldog. I do remember
Bullfrog.
That. Bullfrog. That's a totally different song. Like, listen. Jeremiah was a bulldog. Was a good friend of mine, and then he hung out not at the pond, but like where? At Georgia football.
I can tell you the exact Sex and City episode.
Yeah.
What's happening is Big gets Carrie an ugly bird purse.
They go
to this party where you cannot drink anything red. You have to drink white things. and Jeremiah is a cater waiter, and Carrie is like old friends with him. And instead of hanging out with the yuckity yucks, all the like uppity people of the party, she's hanging out with Jeremiah. And yes. at one point they're out on the balcony and he's like, oh, do you want to see my new tattoo? And it's like near his wiener. And so he pulls down his pants, and that's when Big comes out and sees them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then they leave the party together, and Carrie tells Big off, and she leaves with Jeremiah, and then they just start singing, Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Bulldog.
It's not bulldog. It is bullfrog.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love how it's going to take 10 minutes to get through this email. Okay. Okay, here we go. He blackmailed the writers, or the writers lost a bet, or they were like, I cannot think of one singular thing for any of the other actors to do this episode. Please rank your top 5 absurd things from this episode. Here are mine. Number 1, there is not one other person on the streets of Boston. Not one. We did talk about this. This is so ridiculous. Accurate for or not accurate. Like it's the most ridiculous thing ever. 2, this man is the worst robber ever. What the fuck is he just chatting around, no mask, casual, walking around? My God, this man's biggest crime is how dumb he is.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck. Number 3, Joey asks, any chance you two will work things out? Huh? This woman just told you he ruined her life and just sexually harassed and mugged you at gunpoint. Yeah. And yet Joey is very casually asking about his life.
Yeah.
That's what this episode is.
Right. Yeah.
This doctor is nuts. He said he's doing well. Lots of internal bleeding. I'm certain doctors cannot say this about patients, even if they are muggers.
Yep. You know, that violates HIPAA.
Yeah. Yep. Number 5. Why did the wife give her drug dealing husband $500 in the first place? Why did Joey give her all her savings? What is happening?
Yeah. As you know, that was like the most egregious part where I really lost it, mm-hmm. where all the money that she owns in this world went to this dude's wife.
Yep. This random lady you just met 10
if it was
ago.
Me, I would fucking sue that family up the wazoo.
Well, see, I'm so tired of this episode. Like,
stop yawning.
I can't help it. I'm tired. Look, if Joey had mentioned her father any time since the season 2 finale, maybe this story works. But no joke, she forgot she had a dad and that Dawson made her wear a wire to catch him.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
I forgot about that. I do not understand this story arc, its purpose, or how it relates to anything. Anyone is going through this season. Wow. I didn't realize how bad this episode was until now. In the words of Billy Madison, what I've just watched is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever seen. At no point in its rambling, incoherent script was it even close to anything that could be considered a rational plot. Everyone on this podcast is now dumber for having watched that, and may God have mercy on our soul. Also, yeah. Joey's mom died of breast cancer, not lung cancer. What the fuck? You can't even be bothered to get the story right.
Wow. True. Yeah, that's pretty alarming, especially because how good this episode, this show typically is at continuity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this season they've completely fallen off the continuity boat, in my opinion. And she says, end of rant, you guys are the best. You're the best, Kimmy. Thank you so much for not only sending an amazing feedback, but also inviting Sarah into your book club so I don't have to hear about the book club anymore.
Thank you very much. The book that we're going to read, I think, is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, which is a very popular book these days.
I've seen it everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's,
what's it? Give us the like quick little
I think it is like two people that became friends in the 80s and like started either playing video games or they like created video games. And I think it goes through the next like 30 years of their friendship and relationship.
Aww.
I think it's something like that.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the episode. Can I tell you what the next episode title is going to be?
Yes.
In a Lonely Place.
I mean, we're all in a lonely place. Okay, that was a little dramatic.
Sarah needs to have her own motivational posters, except they're sad motivational posters.
Yeah, they're very morose.
And they just say, in a lonely place. And it's just rain with white words in a lonely place.
We're all in a lonely place.
All in a lonely place.
Like, I'm fine. I'll be fine. I will never have to watch this episode again. Twice in my life was enough. More than enough.
I watched it once. I couldn't even stomach it a second time.
I watched
And can I tell you, I usually watch them in like one sitting where I'll watch the whole episode and whatever, whatever. I had to pause halfway through this episode. Like, I'll get back to this later.
I'm going to put this down and pick it back up.
I couldn't even stand watching it all at once because it was so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it was rough. It was rough times on the streets.
I hope it's the worst episode we watch of the show. Well, if there's somebody
write to us and said that this
Kimmy did.
Kimmy was like, you know what? I wish I can say this is the worst episode, but there's like 23 other episodes that are worse.
She said there was like a bottom 15 or something, and this is one of them, but the other ones are all yet to come.
So I guess we're just like going downhill. But you know what? Hopefully this was an entertaining podcast for our listeners. Hopefully, you know, you got to laugh along or rant along with us. And if this is like a taste of what's to come, like, we'll get through it together. That's what it is.
And maybe they'll finally get desperate enough to ask us to do an AMA.
Do you want to know anything about me? Do you want anything? I'm an interesting person, I swear.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm really not. So
I'm not either. So maybe that's why they don't care. Yeah,
you know, maybe we're just fucking boring. It's fine.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. But why are you listening to this if we're boring? Anyway.
Because they're only interested in us talking about Dawson's Creek.
I guess so. Anything else interesting going on in your life, Sarah, that you'd like to share today?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, like, as you know, my baby girl, Belle, my dog, had to go through surgery this week for bladder stones again.
Mm-hmm. She's recovering. Is it like a genetic thing? Like, why do dogs get them? Do you know?
It's common in Shih Tzus because it's just one of those breed problems, but it's common in small dogs. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like how some humans are susceptible to like UTIs or yeast infections or whatever. So it's probably genetic. It's probably because of like improper breeding down the road. I adopted her. I did, but I know for a fact that she originally came from a puppy mill. And I think it's just like how these dogs are like bred.
They're bred for certain things and not necessarily for health reasons.
Right,
sure.
Exactly. Yep. So, but the thing is that like she's susceptible to UTIs, which eventually forms bladder stones. And once I brought her to a specialist and like her hoo-ha is like, I don't know. We don't need to talk about her hoo-ha.
But she's so embarrassed. Mom, don't talk about my hoo-ha on the podcast.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't need to talk about it. But no, like, basically, but, like, her anatomy is like structured a certain way where like it is susceptible, even more so. But nonetheless, like, you know, it is typically treatable by like antibiotics, but unfortunately she had a blockage. And you know, we took care of her. She's okay. So that was a little bit of a hiccup in my week, but besides that, we be living, we're fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to thank Mrs. Zoloft for getting me through all this, and of course Vanessa, my therapist.
There you go. We love Vanessa and Zoloft, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mental health is important, people.
Yep. How about you? Anything interesting?
No, my life is boring, as the people who won't ask us to do an AMA know. No, honestly, not a ton going on. I'm trying to keep my January a little on the lighter side to try to start my year off the right way in terms of stress-free as much as possible.
Yeah.
Don't know that I'm actually succeeding in that, given how many zits I currently have on my face.
Oh, yeah.
The Vegas another one zit. On the eyebrow guy.
I think the Vegas zit is starting to
it's dissipating. At least it doesn't look bumpy as much, which is the worst.
So
one,
like
right?
I had the zit since I went to Vegas in December, and it's like really been
not okay.
Been, yeah. I it's been rough. So I'm sorry that you're a little bit stressed. I hope that you know, January's almost over. Well, no, we're like halfway.
Halfway. The thing is, it is what it is, right? Like, I'll get through it no matter what. But it's just, I'm just like, all right, I'm about done with this. Like, yeah. I'm about done with this stress level. So, beyond that, no, not a ton going on. Just getting through the winter months. But I will say, it's been a pretty mild winter in upstate New York. So,
It's cold today.
Yeah, a little. I mean, I don't mind the cold. Honestly, I prefer. If we're going to be in winter anyway, I don't need it to be like minus 20 degrees, but like, I don't mind it being a little chillier. So at least the ground is firm, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I got a dog and he gets muddy paws and I hate it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No fun.
Yeah. So. This week we also recorded Thelma and Louise, as we previously mentioned, with Sarah Carradine. And that was so great. Fun.
If you are gonna listen, if you just like randomly listen to our bonus podcasts and like don't necessarily watch any of this stuff, I don't know if there are people out there that like do that, but highly, highly recommend you watch that movie. I am someone who complains about the length of movies often, and I didn't even feel the 2 hours of that movie. Like, it felt like it went by so quickly.
Yeah. Oh, it was on, by the way, it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you can watch it for free if you have Amazon, obviously.
Right. Or if you borrow
most people
it.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a really, really fun movie, and the podcast was so much fun. So that's already out when you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, so go check it out. What else?
I'm do reading. Want to announce what we're doing in February, or should we wait until next week to do that?
I mean, we might as well just tell them.
Okay.
So, what are we doing?
Well, it's February.
Right, it's February, so we're going to have like a Sandy B month.
Gonna be a Sandy B moment. She's gonna get her spot in the limelight.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock, for those who aren't best friends with her and don't call her Sandy B.
Yeah.
We are. I think what's gonna end up happening is that's like a little teaser, but we'll get into like what we're actually covering. I think the plan right now is we're gonna pick one movie that we're gonna definitely do, and then we'll put a poll up with for you all to pick the other movie that we do.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of the plan right now. So more fun stuff to come. I feel like we have a lot of fun plans for this year, but something to keep in mind is like the idea of, now that we've had our kind of quiet January, we can kind of do a little bit more going forward in the next couple of months.
Right. Right. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go play some good old or read the Prince Harry book now.
Alone again.
Yeah.
Using that to yourself too. I just picture Sarah with a motivational picture saying we're all lonely and just listening to Alone Again. As it rains outside.
Oh, actually, if anybody knows what song that is, just like send it over my way, because I really can't find it.
You should sing it into Shazam and see if it comes up.
Does that work?
I don't think so.
Okay. Definitely not my voice.
I don't know.
Definitely not my voice. I'm not the singer out of the two of us. That's for sure.
You could find me at The Just Sterling. You could find Sarah at Sarah Ferguson. You could find the podcast at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. And you can send us voicemails at Shit90sPod.com if you would like to do so. We so appreciate getting them, and emails, Shit90sPod@gmail.com. Sarah, you also have a new podcast coming up. Do you want to plug it?
Oh, yeah. I'm PSR. I'm going to be covering How I Met Your Father.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched season one yet? I know you guys are gonna do like a season one.
Yeah, I think I have like one more episode that I need watch. It's pretty good. I think that it has a lot of things that allude to the original series, which I do enjoy, and has Hilary Duff in it.
Queen.
We love Hilary Duff, of course. Anybody who was our age back in the early 2000s watched Lizzie McGuire, and that was like a pivotal show for me. I loved that show when I was a kid. And then it has Glow. Remember that show?
I loved Glow. Who from Glow is in it?
Bash.
Okay, I have to look it up.
Remember
now,
Bash? Please. Bash was like the producer guy that like.
Oh.
Yeah. That had the money.
I recognize him. Chris Lowell, I think, is his.
And then it has the girl that gave Selena Gomez her kidney.
Okay. I need to take a second to sit with that statement. It has there is a girl who gave Selena Gomez a kidney.
Okay, so this is
a fellow actor? Like, what do you mean? Okay, they just plucked her off the street and were like, you want an acting job?
So Franzia something or other.
Raisa?
Yeah, I think she's a Disney star originally, and she was friends with Selena Gomez, and Selena Gomez has lupus and she needed a kidney transplant, very serious. So Francia was a match and she gave her kidney to Selena Gomez, and which is incredible, like a really beautiful thing to do. And you know, they were very, very close. But in Selena Gomez's documentary, My Mind and I on HBO, she did not thank nor mention Franzia. And then in a recent interview, she said that Taylor Swift was her only friend in the industry. And Franzia was very offended. Because,
I mean, yeah, I gave you a whole ass kidney, bitch.
Exactly. And then you know what Selena Gomez said? Oh, she said, no. I'm sorry, I can't mention everybody in... everything that I do.
No, she didn't. She doubled down.
She doubled down. And yeah, so whenever I see this character, it's like all I think about is the drama between her and Selena Gomez and the kidney. And like the thing is that like to give a kidney is like such a big thing, but also like this is kind of just a lesson in life, especially for somebody like me that like gives. Like, you have to do things out of kindness and with no expectations in return, because if you do things and you expect people to like thank you and like, you know, give you compliments and give you love, like, and it doesn't happen, you're only going to feel let down and broken in the process. So if you're going to do something in an act of kindness, then you have to do it wholeheartedly out of kindness, or else it's not really out of kindness. It's a very difficult lesson to learn, and it's something that like I'm continuously learning, because you want to be praised for things that you do, right? But sometimes it just doesn't happen. Like humans are humans and they act how they act. So if you're going to do something, you can't expect them to act a certain way.
Only donate a kidney to an actor that you think will praise you later on is the lesson I'm hearing.
I don't know. It's just drama.
You did, also, you didn't bring up 90s queen Kim Cattrall. She's in it.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So Kim Cattrall is acting as the future Hillary Duff.
Oh, fun. Okay, great. Yeah. Maybe I'll check it out. I haven't watched any of the show. I was like very much burned by How I Met Your Mother and how that show ended, and I was like, fuck this show.
I know. So you know how Bob Saget was like the voice of Ted Mosby?
Rip in Bob Saget. Yes.
The great Bob Saget. Kim Cattrall is the future Hillary Duff, but like instead of just like a voiceover, you see her.
I feel like that makes sense. You can't have Kim Cattrall and not see her. You know what I mean? Right. Like, what an icon.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah. Well, that's fun. That'll be coming up on Pusher Recaps. You're going to be covering that with Adam H., who I covered Mythic Quest with. So it's going to be fun. So go check
who has been on this podcast.
Who's been on this podcast. He is going to return at some point in this season as well to guest.
Are we like just like dragging this on?
We are. We should end the podcast. All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back.
Thank you for bearing with us.
Yep. We're going to be back hopefully with a better episode, season 5, episode 16 next week. Like I said, you could check us out all the places we already mentioned, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one, everybody. Goodbye. Just ask. Shit90Shows.me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.